Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to you by God, that I might be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power and the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum that I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, so that I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. In verse 21, but as it is written, to whom it is not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. And for this reason, I have been much hindered from coming to you, for now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire that many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on the way there by me, if I may enjoy the company for a while. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may God bless the surgeon who is going to do surgery on my eyes to help me to focus better. And shortly after the first of the year, I will have surgery. But I'm having a bit difficulty with some of the focusing on some of the things. Our message today is, Are We There Yet? And this begins, the 1st of December begins the emphasis for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that is the theme this year, Are We There Yet? How many times have you gotten in the car and only to hear the children say, after you've only gone a couple of blocks, are we there yet? Well, we're not there yet, but we are on our way. And today I want to use this message, and I want to point to you five road markers along the way to help you to see that we are on the way. We're not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And so, if you're looking for a chapter in the Word of God that for missions and world missions, Romans chapter 15, I think, is the best chapter that you can find to help you to see and to understand what world missions is all about. But you see, we live in a small world. We can identify all of the people groups that have not yet heard the gospel today. For the first time, we're able to do that. But we live in a small world. We live in a world where you can take your iPhone or your phone that you have with you, and you can, while you're in this service, you could communicate with someone on the backside of the world. And with the satellite cell phones, you can make a phone call from any place in the world does not have to be connected to a tower. Now, it'll cost you a bit to do that, but we have that access is available for us. So I want to share with you today, I want to talk about the five W's for missionaries and for rope holders. You know, you're one of two things. You're either a missionary or we're holding the rope of those who have gone to the mission field. Now, in Romans chapter 15, there are dozens, and as I was preparing the message, there are so many points that can be made about the methodology of missions and missiology. But today I want to just talk about five. Why is world missions so vital to the ministry of the church? If the church does not have a vision, a Great Commission vision, I question whether or not you're a church. You may be a religious group meeting together, but if you are a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have a desire to take the gospel and to disciple those who have not yet heard. I wrote in my article for our associational newsletter this week, I wrote these statements. I pray that God will use this message to awaken in us an irresistible desire to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to some unreached people group. And for the rest of you, if you're not going to go, for the rest of you will awaken an irresistible desire to be utterly committed rope holders, and that you will pray and that you will send and that you will be a supporter of those who go. William Carey called his best friend, Andrew Fuller, a rope holder. He says, I'm going to India, and Carey went to India to never return. But Fuller remained a lifetime rope holder, a prayer warrior for him, and a financial supporter. So there are five observations that I want to help you as a church, the Chinese Community Baptist Church of South Orange County. I want you to build into your DNA as a church these ideas that would help you. First of all, I want us to see the first W, and I've each one of these characteristics or each one of these mile markers, I've chosen the word W. When we get to number five, you can see it was a stretch. I had to work a bit on that. But the first W is the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation of world missions. And every missionary that goes out, the 5,000 missionaries that are commissioned by the Southern Baptist Convention, all of them have been trained. They have been seminarily trained. They have 2 years of practical experience in the United States before they are sent to the mission field. And so, but they're, you say, well, what are they trained in? They're trained in the Word of God. We have no other message but that of the Word of God. And you say, but I know of missionaries that have gone, and some are teachers, and some are doctors, and some are administrators, and some are even farmers. Yes, but everything they do focuses on the Word of God. For an example, if a missionary goes and he teaches in a university or in a school, and maybe he teaches English as the second language. Do you know the book that they use to teach English as the second language? It's the Word of God. And the farmers, they go and they plant seed. Several years ago, we hosted a missions conference here at Saddleback Church. And one of the missionaries was a missionary to one of the third world countries. a place where his life was literally in danger, where he was threatened. In fact, he was at a meeting one time, and one of his friends came to him and he said, "You're the target. As soon as this meeting is over, they plan to kill you." And he says, "At a point in time, I'm going to usher you out of the meeting." So his life was threatened, and he knew that if he proclaimed the word of God openly and publicly, that he would be taken out and stoned to death, or would be shot. And so he lived in secret, and yet he was a farmer, and he would help them. He would help those, and they were Muslim. I don't mind telling you, you know, what country it was. It was a Muslim-dominated country. He would help them, and they planted their crops, and they were so appreciative of his help that there was a respect that they had for him. But in the middle of the night, people would come, and they would knock on his door, and they would be shrouded so that no one could identify who they were. And they would open the door and they would whisper, "Do you have any seed?" They were not asking for the seed that you would plant in the earth. They knew that he had the word of God. And so they wanted, and they didn't dare call it the Bible or the word of God. Instead, they called it seed. "Do you have any seed?" And he smuggled Bibles in, and he handed the Bible out, so that all of the mission work that our missionaries do, the foundation of it is the Word of God. Look in what Paul is writing here in Romans, in verses number 15 through 18. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, and as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God." What is the Word of God? The Word of God helps us to understand the grace of God. For without the Word, we would have no knowledge of God's grace. "And that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." And so what Paul is saying, that in the Old Testament, the priest would be the ones that would make the offerings and the sacrifices. And he says, and that is my job and your job as a missionary of the Word of God. We're to be the priest who would stand before the people and help them to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus and the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word." The word of God. James later says, "Be you doers of the word and not only hearers of the word." Now, you say, well, what do we teach? What do we teach as Baptists and the missionaries? If you'll go to, and write this down, sbc.net, southernbaptistconvention.net, sbc.net, and you'll find there the Baptist Faith and Message. You may have copies of the Baptist Faith and Message here in your gospel track rack back there. If not, go to sbc.net and you'll see the Baptist Faith and Message. And this is the Word of God. This is what we as Southern Baptists believe and hold to, the Word of God. And you'll see it broken down into many different segments there. But the first road sign for missionaries is the Word of God. The second is the work of God. Let's see, am I doing this correctly? There we are. World missions is God's work. And what I meant by this is that he does it instead of us. But God does it through us. It's His work. It's not our work. It is God's work. So that missions is really supernatural work. And it is really doing, it's God's doing, it's God's working in and through us. If you'll notice there in those verses I read a moment ago, first notice the word grace in verse 15. God called Paul and equipped Paul, and He sent Paul by grace. So Paul's being a missionary is a work of God. In every one of our missionaries that are sent, they're called by God's grace, but they are to be missionaries for the work of God. Then the second thing we see is that Paul does his missionary work by gathering the nations of God and preparing them to present them as a priest to God. And we saw this a moment ago in verse 16, where he says, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the Gentiles morally acceptable, makes us. It is God's Spirit that makes us acceptable unto God. Then we see the work here. The third thing we see is in verse 18, where Paul says, I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. So how do the nations come to forsake idols, and how do they come to forsake the sin of their past and become obedient? It is through being obedient to the work of the missionaries and the Word of God. So Jesus Christ works through the missionaries, not without the missionaries, but through the missionaries. I read the story several years ago about a missionary that there were a small group of them, and they were going into somewhere in Africa, and into the jungles, and they were going to a tribe that had never, as far as they knew, they had no written account of their language. And they were going there as Wycliffe translators to help them translate, to write a language for them, and then to help them to translate the Word of God into a language that they could understand. But the plane encountered some bad weather. The plane crashed. No one, they searched for months and for years. They never found the crash. So everyone in the plane they pursued was killed, except one person, one man, survived. And here he was in the jungles, and he was cut off from civilization. He had no way of making contact. So he just began living with the people. But no one knew that. 10 years later, Wycliffe sent another group in because it took them time now to retrain. The group they sent in, they were the ones that were prepared, so they had took them 10 more years to get another group prepared to help take the language that they knew, that they thought that they would use, and to get it and to translate it. So they go in, make a safe landing, a safe approach, and they begin working with some of the native tribes. And they begin talking about Jesus. And much to their amazement, some of the people that they were ministering to, the tribal people, they said, oh, we know Jesus. Jesus lives here with us. And they said, no, you don't understand. Jesus is in heaven with God. And they said, no, Jesus is here. He lives here. And so they took like a 3-day journey into the village where this surviving missionary lived, and they pointed to him and they said, here is Jesus. And you see, that's what people should be able to say to each one of us, the lost people around us, when you begin talking about Jesus, they should say, oh, I know who you're talking about. He lives two doors over here. That man, what you're telling me about Jesus, that man lives that life. And that's the work of the missionary. Then the third, so we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, the IBM, and this is our International Mission Board, 2009, this is the statistical data that we have. In 2009, in the mission field, we baptized 503,019. Do you know that's more than all of the Southern Baptist churches in America baptized? We baptized more people in the mission field through our missionaries than we did in America. And you said, but that should be because there are more pagans in the other parts of the world than in America. But not many more. In America, there are almost 90% of the world's of the population of the United States do not name the name of Jesus Christ. We have 2,492 churches in Southern Baptist churches in America. There are about 45,000, so there are five times as many Southern Baptist churches in the world than are in America. The church membership overseas was 10.7 million, and that there were 24,650 new churches. New churches in 2009, they began almost 25,000 new churches. Now, the third thing that we see, the third W, the aim of world missions is the worship of God, worship of God. The reason the universities exist is to worship God. Why did God make us? In order that we might have a time of worship with Him. In Romans 12 and 1, listen to the scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You see, the Gentiles are an acceptable offering to God when their lives are in an act of worship to God. But we don't have to leave this chapter in order to see that. If you go back to verse number 9 in Romans 15 and verse number 9, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says that there shall be a root of Jesse, and that he shall rise up and reign over the Gentiles, and the Gentiles shall have hope. So the third W that we see here is that of worship. We are to worship God. And that in order to be a missionary, you must have a time of daily worship, a time when you are in God's word and you are praising him for what he is doing in your life. Then we see the fourth W. Not only do we have the work of God, the word of God, the work of God, and the worship of God. And the fourth thing we see is the way. The way to do world's missions is to go to the unreached people's groups. And Paul refers to this in verses 19 through 23. He says that so that from Jerusalem, he's saying, and to go all about, and that it may be made, it is my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So what Paul was saying, that the missionary is to take the word of God to the world where they've never heard. Now, let me share with you what we're doing in Christianity today. Just suppose you in the room here, you represented the world's population today. One-third of you are starving. You have no food at all. But we have food now. And we're going to provide food for, you're the world, we're going to provide food for you. Here's how we're doing it. We don't have enough food at one time to feed everyone. We have to do it a little at a time. So we go get food, and we bring food in, and we start at the front, and we give food to the first two or three rows. We run out of food. So we go back and we get more food, and we come back to you, the world, and we're going to feed you. So now we start at the front again. We feed the first two rows, three rows. We're going to go back to the fourth row. We go get more food. Those of you at the back, you're starving. Many of you are dying. But we go get more food, and we come here, and we start at the front. You see, this is what we're doing today with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are feeding those who have already heard. We're taking the gospel to those who've already heard. So what we've got to do, and my prayer is, not every one of us can go to the mission field. Every one of us can be missionaries. But we can't go to some third world country. It'd be impossible, impractical for us to do that. We can go, or we can be rope holders. And we can, for those who do go, we can be supporters of them. But you see, this is the way that, this is the biblical way. And that's a moment ago when we read the Great Commissions in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, it didn't say go into part of the world. It says go into all of the world. There are three things that I want us to see about the way here he talks about. Paul says that he is fully preached, that he literally, I have fulfilled the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum, to everywhere that I've gone where the people have not heard, that I am a pioneer. And he aims to build on, he doesn't aim to build on anyone else's work. He doesn't want to go where someone's already been and where someone is ministering. Instead, he wants to go where those who have never heard, to be a pioneer where Christ was not named. And he realized that in the region where he was, that outside of that region, that there were tens of thousands of unconverted, unsaved people. Now, let's look. Here's a global snapshot of the work ahead of us. There are 3,727 people groups that are not engaged at all in the gospel. We know who they are, but they're just not engaged. There are 6,426 unreached people groups, those that have less than 2%. There's some of those that they have a bit of the knowledge, but less than 2% profess Jesus Christ as personal relationship. Now, this would be the predominant Muslim countries. I think the Muslim population, what is it, 20 to 25% of the world's population today is Muslim. 1.7 billion with little or no access to the gospel. 1.5 billion Muslims, 22% of the world's population. Now, the Christian witness among China cities is less than 1%. And realize that in China today, there is a revival going on. You know this. In China today, hundreds and thousands of people are being saved in China, but but it represents less than 1% of the cities where the gospel is being proclaimed. 3% evangelical believers among Ethiopians, 82 million people. 355 million in South America do not know Christ. Less than 1% Christians among the 270 million in Central Asian region. 97% of all Palestinians are Muslim. You see, that represents that we were mentioned a minute ago, less than 2% of the 6,000 countries that have not the gospel, we've not penetrated with the gospel. 89% of North Africa and Middle Eastern people groups are unreached. 311 people groups in India have no known evangelical believers. Only 1,600 believers among the 1.6 million Hmong who live in northern Vietnam, North Vietnam. So you can see that the way that God wants us to do the work, we do it through the Word of God. We do the work His way. The purpose is to help people to worship, come to worship God, and to do it His way, to take the gospel to those who have never heard. And then we come to the fifth W, and God has called some of us to be wardens of the mission. I couldn't determine to use the word warden or watcher. But we're to be watchers over it from home. Now, in verse 24, let's see what Paul says here. He says, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you." Paul was expecting the churches to support him. We see all through the New Testament that almost all of the churches sent their financial support to him that made it possible for him to do his work. Southern Baptists have a plan that was introduced in 1925. It's called the Cooperative Program. And your church, along with the other 45,000 churches in the United States, in the Southern Baptist Convention, we give a portion of our offerings. Today, a portion of your offering will go to the Cooperative Program. Of those funds, most of those funds go to the foreign missionaries. Not all of them, but most of them go to foreign missionaries. So every Sunday, when you give your offering, you're helping to support the 5,000 Southern Baptist missionaries, the 5,000 missionaries who work in North America, as well as the seminaries and the universities, Southern Baptist universities, and the missionaries that live in California. You help support those every Sunday through the Cooperative Program. But now the World Missions offering, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and you'll see in your bulletin today, there is an envelope for you to give. The goal for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $148.9 million. Now, I don't expect any one of you to give that $148 million. If you have the ability to do it, God bless you. But I do expect every one of us to give something. And of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, every dollar that is given goes directly to the mission field. So none of that is used for anything. All of our Christmas offering goes to the mission field. So the cooperative program goes for all of the missions work. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes only to the foreign, to the missionaries. So then there are senders and there are wardens of the mission. There are those who send and there are those who watch and make sure that those who go, that they receive the support they need. So we like to say that there are three possibilities then in world missions. You can be a goer, and it is my prayer that maybe God and some of the young people and young adults that are here today, maybe God would speak to you and you would say, I want to go and to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into one of those countries where they've never, a missionary has never gone. You can be a goer. We all can be senders, or we can be disobedient. We only have two choices. We can be involved or not involved. And my prayer is that we'll be goers and that we'll be senders. Well, how much does it cost to support a Southern Baptist missionary? The average cost is $43,845 a year. You say, then, but in, I know in some countries, like if you go to South America, or if you were to go to Japan, there is no way a person could live in Japan for $43,884. Well, that's the average. There are some places where our missionaries go where the annual income would be less than $500. So we can send missionaries there much cheaper. But it costs, for the 5,000 missionaries that we have, it costs an average of $43,000 a year for each one. You break that down, that's $3,600 a month, $843 a week, $120 a day, or $5 an hour. Every one of us, even your children, you can give an hour or 5 hours or 10 hours or a day. And every one of us should be able to give at least a day or a week. And maybe some of us could give a month. So now is the time also to take a fresh look at the challenges ahead and be ready to finish the task with 45,000 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. There's much work to be done. You say it's a little overwhelming. How can we possibly do that? Well, it is doable. But it'll take all of us and all of our churches and all of our missionaries and our national partners and our Great Commission partners. So let me just in summary, let's look at what it means. Are we on the road yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet, but we're on the road. And here are the mile markers that we see. The Word of God. Say that with me. Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation of world missions. And we want to send missionaries who can explain to people who God is and how He works and what the path to heaven looks like. The second, world missions is God's work. Repeat that with me. World missions is God's work. We teach and preach and love, but God gives repentance and sanctification. The fifth, the aim of world missions is the worship of God. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. And the fourth is the way to do world missions is to go to unreached peoples. Evangelism of reached people is not a frontier mission. Taking the gospel to peoples whose name, where the name of Christ is not named, is frontier missions. And then finally, God called sons to be wardens of the mission who watch over it from home. You can be a goer, a sender, or disobedient. And Father, today we pray that we will not be disobedient. We do not want to be ones that would stand on the side and one day to stand before you and to hear you call us disobedient because we did not go, we did not sin, we did not hold the rope. Father, today especially do I pray for the 5,000 Southern Baptist missionaries, and not only Southern Baptists, but missionaries who proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. Father, I lift them up to you today, and I pray that you will bless them. And we realize, Father, that our Southern Baptist missionaries are literally standing on tiptoe, looking back to our churches to see if we'll respond, if we'll provide the necessary funds they need to accomplish their work, to buy seed, to help train people, to build buildings, to build houses for those who have no place to live. So, Father, I pray that we will be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and, Father, that we will be goers and we will be wardens. We will be those who watch over your word. Father, I pray today that if there's someone here whom you've spoken to that should be a goer, and God, you've called them to missions, I pray today that they would acknowledge that. And publicly, in a moment, in the response time, come forward and say, God is calling me to missions, and I'm responding. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to all of us that we're to be senders, that we can give, we can pray. We even would be, some of us, be able to go for a short time to mission field. So Father, I pray that you'll speak to us in that way. But I pray most especially if there's anyone here who has never received you as the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is the purpose of missions, is that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And help us, Father, to understand that your purpose is for us to have a time of worship with you. Thank you, Father, for our time together today. Now bless our closing time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.